This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show. Thursday, January 26th, 2017. The judge comes through. I am here. I did not think there was going to be a podcast because for the last hour and a half or so, there's been a service outage in my area. So the internet has been down. Was almost about ready to call it a night because it's already close to 3:15 in the morning. So, I mean, couldn't wait too much longer. Because, I mean, while I still can get use like the whatever the 3G for my iPhone service, I couldn't use the program to run that runs the podcast, like which I basically run on Google Hangouts right now. So I was nervous there was going to be a podcast. I knew a lot of you would be angry. I think I even tweeted out, you should yell at Time Warner because that's unacceptable to have no service. But I'm here. We made it. Interesting slate, monstrous slate on Wednesday with 10 games and just guys going nuts everywhere, monster scores. Thursday, we're back to like the Thursdays of previous years. We're a really small slate, but at least it's not only the two TNT games. We do get four games. I was hoping for six games, which I've seen this year before. But four games is okay. The judge will approach this as a GPP only night. There's one game in particular that just jumps off the screen that's probably going to be fantastic. We can get tons of players from that game. But for me, I'm probably going to play half my normal amount, maybe even a little less, depending how I feel after I've conducted all my research. But still, we can make money on small slates. Done it before this year, and we shall do it again on Thursday because it is a four-game slate. Also, I had a crazy night. I had a social event, so I had to be out. Not going to lie, I had a couple drinks. And then it was around, I don't know, like 10:30, 11. I was going to get another drink, and I thought to myself, wait a minute. I have 6,000 listeners depending on the judge tonight for my podcast. I cannot have any more drinks. So I heard a shot instead. No, I'm kidding. I did not. I refused. So I was thinking of you all night, all of you, even though I actually wasn't able to watch the games. And it's bizarre because only a handful of times all year have I not been able to watch all the games. So basically this version of DG Courtroom will be like every other podcast where I'm basically going to pretend like I watch the games when I have no idea, you know, what I'm talking about in terms of who's a dream killer, who's a dream lover. I'm basically looking at box scores. And that's basically what all the other podcasts do, except for there's like one or two others. But for the rest, I mean, you can tell they don't watch the games at all. They have absolutely no clue what really happened. They're reading a box score. So tonight, I get to read some box scores to you when it comes to dream lovers and dream killers. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If the judge can refrain from drinking alcohol, still do podcasts at 5 in the morning, the least you can do is to rate, review, and subscribe. Also, you can retweet the – Whenever I tweet out the show at 4 or 5 in the morning, whenever this gets posted, if you guys could retweet that, that would be glorious. We need to expand the listener base. That'd be tremendous. That helps with all kinds of things, including sponsors. So I'd appreciate that. Also, please download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. You guys know that by now, right? And by the way, we haven't had a ton of new downloads lately. So let's try to get some more on Thursday. I'd appreciate that. And remember, when you download, if you can't figure out where to put the promo code, you can just find me. Let me know. I'm on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. And I will basically get that rectified for you. But also make sure you let me know your username on Draft. I will need to know that. Or you can also email me via dgcourtroomdfs.com. Also, speaking of the app Draft, which is glorious, it's basically just doing snake drafts every day. You fill up 5 players, 2 guards, 2 forwards, and 1 center. It's just a lot of fun. So I highly do recommend it. And right now we have going a 7-day battle extravaganza to the death. We are currently down to the Elite 8 on Thursday. The round of 16 was on Wednesday. So if you are still in the Elite 8 in this tournament, it was initially a $10 entry fee. Let me know. The judge wants to know who is still alive in this ultimate battle. So yeah, let me know that. That would be good. And I think we're going to have a new judges chambers up on Draft very soon in the next day or two. So I will let you guys know when that happens. Speaking of Chambers, what is Chambers? I get the question every day. Judge, what is this? What are you talking about? People keep whispering about it wherever I go. And it's basically just tournaments we run on FanDuel, on DraftKings, and on the app Draft, which is contains some of the best players in the world in DFS. And they enter the Chambers, and they try to figure out who will be the greatest, the best of the best. And that's why on Fridays, we run a tournament that I call the best of the best that I take. We also have a power rankings, and I basically the people at the top of the power rankings qualify for what is titled a best of the best tournament. And we will have our initial first one on DraftKings on Friday, and we will also have one, obviously, on FanDuel on Friday, which we do every week. So for Chambers on, let's see, my show sheet today is all messed up because with no, I do my show sheet on Google Docs, so I didn't have access to Google Docs before the show when the internet was down. So everything today is going to be a little haywire. So if the show is a mess, still blame Time Warner, because without internet these days, I mean, really, it's a huge hazard, man. Just disastrous. All right, so Chambers for Wednesday on FanDuel. Congrats to Too Tall Jamal. I see him in the top of the leaderboard a lot, I think on DraftKings and FanDuel, but I think it's his first FanDuel win. If I'm wrong, let me know, Too Tall Jamal, but congrats to you. The guy with the highest score tonight was Dallin Luck, put up a 383 in Chambers. That's a mark. I think the score, like the winning score and like the slam in tournaments like that was around like 389. So that's pretty close. That score should have made you some serious money. So congrats to you. That's Dallin Luck's fourth win of the year in Chambers. And then Justin P94 got his third win of the year. And by the way, if you guys do win Chambers, and if you want to, you know, if you happen to be up late at night, because sometimes the winners, we don't know until 1 a.m. Eastern when the last game is done. If you guys just want to tweet at me, that way it would be great, because sometimes we have so many people playing Chambers right now. As much as I do have an Excel sheet tracking everyone's Twitter name, everyone's FanDuel username. With over 500 people now playing Chambers, maybe it's over 600 now. It's too many for me to keep track of. So if you win, send me a quick tweet saying, you know, I took down Chambers 1 or Chambers 2, Chambers 3, DraftKings Chambers, whatever. That way I can give you a proper shout out and also include your Twitter handle on the show. For DraftKings, 50 spots. That's the tournament right now for DraftKings. Maybe we will up that to 75 on Friday, because a couple of you requested that. And I'm here to serve the people. Team Ninja Boot put up a 324. Congrats on your victory, Team Ninja Boot. I like ninjas because I like sneaky ninjas in DFS. So I feel very close to you right now. Also, John Beal 19 took second, and then Manziaxi took third. So congrats to you guys. Just high scoring night. So if you won Chambers on this night, you probably won some decent money overall. So hopefully you put those lineups in some nice tournaments. Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. As I said, so I didn't watch a ton of the games. I got home kind of right as a couple games were ending. The 8 p.m. games were ending, and kind of the Judy Dench disgusting game, Lakers-Portland, which was whatever. Did anyone roster Waffle House Randall? Raise your hand wherever you are. If you're at work, you're babysitting your kid, you're walking your dog, raise your hand. I just want to see it, because I rostered Waffle House Randall. Remember the good old days when he was decent and you could attack Portland power forwards? Yeah. What gravy juice, Waffle House Randall. What a just an absolute buster. What a disgraceful performance. That is one of the few games that's the only game that I really saw live. He stinks. Just what a disgrace. But sorry, I digress. Back to Dream Killers. And this guy, he was a soul crusher again. And it's Anthony Davis. Dude, just retire. It's just embarrassing. Now it's a quad contusion. You had a Charlie horse last game. It was an eyelash. It was a fingernail issue. You had a toe fungus. You had hemorrhoids. I mean, what the hell? I mean, every freaking you. Like, just get out of my life. Get out of all of our lives. And I'm dead serious about this, guys. I think we should start a petition asking for refunds from Anthony Davis himself. Should pay us all a refund. I'm not sure how much he owes us for this year, but I think we should create a petition asking for our money back. I mean, what is he making? 20 million a year, at least. The least he can do is give us back to the people some of that. Because this is too much. I mean, man, he killed some really beautiful lineups I had. I had Hernan Gomez in a ton of lineups, but I teamed Hernan Gomez. Every one of my Hernan Gomez lineups, I had Anthony Davis. Just a cruel twist of fate for the judge on this slate. Hernan Gomez is like 1% owned. And I mentioned him on the podcast yesterday. Hopefully you played him. He put up over 33 fandom points, I think. But Anthony Davis is just, it's so disappointing. I mean, dude just cannot stay healthy. He's just soul crusher, dream killer, whatever else you want to say. Ennis, Enis, Crenus, Weenus, you know the word I want to say. That guy, dream killer. All day long, people were kept praising him. He was projected for a lot of points, basically any site you looked at. He stinks as a real basketball player. I'm mad at myself for hopping on that train. He sucked. Mike Conley, disappointing for him. Eric Gordon, he got ruled out after lineup lock. So obviously whenever that happens, that's disappointing. And that's almost more on the team for not letting us know he had some issue. For me, the actual soul crusher, a guy I had in a lot of lineups and I got him at like a 6%, which was great, was James Johnson from Miami against Brooklyn. Thought he was going to smash. Absolute dud. And on a monster slate, a 10-game slate, you really can't have anyone in your lineup do that to you. It's just you can't cash if you have one guy give you a 10, 11, 12, 13 FanDuel point night when guys are putting up routinely scores in the 330s, 340s as a total FanDuel score and super high for DraftKings as well. So he was – I need to go back and watch this game. I don't know what the hell happened. How could he not go nuts against Brooklyn? It's just – puzzling. I'm sure the minutes were probably an issue, and just frustrating for that he was the main guy costing me money on this slate. Westbrook and Harden, I have my dream killers because they just haven't been paying off their salary. They both were good on Wednesday. They both had probably triple doubles, over 50 FanDuel points. I think they both had like 52, but at their price, it's just not enough. Especially when you have guys like Isaiah Thomas who are basically matching them. And you have guys like Lou freaking Williams who are matching them for. It hampers what you can do with the rest of your lineup when you're spending so much on those guys, and they end up giving you only like four times value. So while they were okay, and you might have still cashed with them. It's tough to take down a tournament if you're spending a ton of your salary on a large slate, and then they don't come up with a really really monstrous game. And they don't, again, like what I said yesterday, they don't have to play well. They played well on Wednesday. They played great. They have to play superhuman to really help you take down a tournament on a large slate. So, you know, I had lineups with, because there was so much value, I had lineups with Westbrook and Harden. So it was 100 FanDuel points right off the bat. But those lineups also ended up with like an Enis of, you know what? So, you know, it's just, you can do it. And obviously there's still always good plays. But just remember, on a 10-game slate, you don't have to do it. Brandon Ingram, he sucked again. Whiteside, man, luckily I faded him on this slate, even against Brooklyn, because he just hasn't been right. And I guess now he has an injury. Thanks for telling us that, Miami. He's been dealing with an injury for a while. So, yeah, tough break if you played him. I'm sure I got a lot of tweets, angry tweets about playing him, and I don't blame you. Jrue Dench. God forbid he could take advantage against the Lakers, right? Had a lot of Dame Jrue Dench, wanted to come in with a late night hammer and thought he was going to save me and make me some a lot of money. Nope. Put up like 32 FanDuel points, and that's disgusting. Guys that are on his salary on this slate crushed. Guys like Kyle Lowry went nuts. Kemba went nuts and outperformed him. So he stinks. He. By the way, if you haven't been with the judge for long, the original Tin Man, it was Anthony Davis and Harrison Barnes. And Jrue Dench, Dame Lillard, because if you watched Dame Jrue Dench play, no defensive effort, no facial expression, and I'm not certain how hard he's really trying some games. I think he's just coming up trying to figure out the new rap tunes, you know, for his you know burgeoning rap career during some of the games. Terrence Ross, yeah, that's it. Powell played well again, but not Ross. And then the gravy juice syrup, Julius Randle, just disgraceful. Dream lovers, lots of dream lovers. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, the guy is just a machine. Almost 55 FanDuel points in the, you know, Patrick Beverley cannot stop him. He just, I'm not sure if anyone's torched Patrick Beverley like he did on this slate. It's going to be a fun game when I do go back and watch that, uh, that Houston-Boston game might be one of the first games I go back and watch. Actually, it'll probably be, for me, it's going to be the Bulls-Atlanta, because I want to figure out, how did Wade put up over 30 actual points and over 40 FanDuel points on a back-to-back? Also, how did the Bulls blow a 10-point lead with, like, less than 3 minutes to go? Like, what the hell happened there? When you have two of the best closers in Butler and Wade, I don't get that. But back to Dream Lovers. And you can tell, I'm all over the place today, guys, a little bit. It is a little weird because I'm just looking at box scores, and I feel icky. I feel icky about it because I can't tell you what really happened in the games. I can just tell basically reading the box score. The judge needs to know what happened, what went down. And I'll tell you, like, hopefully my boss aren't listening, because I'll be watching all these games tomorrow at work on my iPad. Deion Waiters, he was tremendous again. Third straight game against Brooklyn. I did not want to go with the Dragic Waiters stack on a small slate. I would have. I avoided it on this slate, and I was wrong because it paid off. Dragic and Waiters both put up over 40 FanDuel points, and I think I saw them in a lot of winning GPP lineups. LeBron, I'm pretty sure that Sacramento Cleveland game, which was the only 7 p.m. Eastern game, went to overtime, and LeBron ended up with 57 FanDuel points. DeMarcus Cousins ended up with 60 FanDuel points. Love had a good game. I mean, there's no worse feeling in the world than when a game you have limited exposure to goes to overtime, especially on any slate. But so I didn't have a lot of exposure here. LeBron was really low owned on this slate, so if you played him, you might have had a good night. Although I played a ton of Jimmy Butler, and Butler basically did the same thing LeBron did. But I did exposure. Bays, if you played Kent Bazemore on a 10-game slate, I didn't do it. I didn't want to do it. Quite honestly, I didn't even think about doing it. And he put up over 40 FanDuel points, and he was in some winning GPP lineups. On a 10-game slate, it felt forced to me, but that's DFS, man. Weird things happen like that. And the Bays in that Chicago-Atlanta game, which I should have been tweeting turtle emojis if I was watching. I looked at the score, the pace. It was like a rocket ship in terms of pace. So that's why one reason why I want to watch that game. I'm really intrigued to see what the hell happened. And Bazemore went nuts. Marc Gasol, I think he had a career high in points. Over 57 FanDuel points, something like that. So Conley sucked, but not Marc Gasol. Jay Crowder, he's been good in that last few games. He's always my favorite cash game play, and now he's showing tournament upside with over 40 FanDuel points. Nerlens Noel was really good again. He was in a spot where I thought he's going to put up a dud, but no, he came through close to 35 FanDuel points, which is at his salary, which is great. Steven Adams, cheap at 5.5K, had an excellent game, over 40 FanDuel points. I mentioned Cousins. Lou Williams, I know a lot of people who were winning a lot of money going into that late game. And man, did Lou Williams, if you had him, he was a dream lover. If you didn't have him, he was a dream killer. Guys like Lou Williams and Plumdog, they both had close to 50 FanDuel points. So Plumdog was a dream lover or dream killer if you didn't have him. They either won you a lot of money or cost you a lot of money. Jimmy Butler was really good. And then Spencer Hawes. And the people who asked me if Spencer Hawes was a good play coming in this late, my answer still is no. So, I mean, you can tweet me right now at 3:59 a.m. in the morning, and I will still tell you don't play Spencer Hawes. I mean, in a tournament, you always – everyone's in play. Same slate, Charlotte against Golden State. I didn't think why they'd give him minutes. They made sense that they should go small. Play Marvin at the five, play Frank Kaminsky at the five because he was playing. And Hawes still ended up with like 33 FanDuel points. So I'm not going to apologize to you because it was on paper still not a good play. But again, in tournaments, DFS, I mean, that's you always can play bums like that. Will always do weird things. All right. Injury news for Thursday. Only four games. So injury news, Dallas is the main one for me. Dirk, Darren Williams, and Wesley Matthews are all going to be out. So the judge already did some research for you. What does this mean? Harrison Barnes becomes an elite play on this slate. He gets a 7% usage bump with those guys up. That's monstrous. So, I mean, I think his usage rate normally is like 24%. He's then bumped over 30%. So he's in an excellent spot now. Also, Seth Curry gets like a 6.3% usage bump. I'm not sure what they'll do with the lineup because Rick Carlisle is just a madman, and he thinks he's smarter than everyone in the world. So God only knows who he'll probably going to try to come with some super creative starting lineup to fool us all like he's some evil genius, but he's really just a bald dope. But Seth Curry does get a 6.3% usage bump. In theory, he should start. He's been starting anyway. Dwight Powell, if he could ever get minutes, he's tremendous. He's a fantasy point per minute monster, so he's going to be a tournament guy for me if he gets a 5.5% usage bump. Justin, Kyle Anderson, whatever the hell that guy's name, I always get it confused, either Kyle or Justin, because I think the guy in the Spurs is Kyle. I think this one's Justin. Also, I got to tell you, this for some reason, this guy bugs me. I don't know why, what it is. He plays with a weird attitude. Maybe he kind of just scares me. He seems like a nasty kind of guy. In a good way, though. You know, I don't mean that in like a derogatory term. I mean, like, I'd want him on my team, but not. I wouldn't want to play against him. I'd be scared. I'd hide in the corner like Karl Anthony Towns versus P.J. Tucker. So Anderson gets almost a 5% bump. And then Finney, Linney, Crinney, Shinney, Smith gets a little usage bump too. Then you got Indiana guys out. Aaron Brooks, Monte Ellis, Rodney Stuckey, all dealing with issues. Probably going to be out. They're questionable. Moutier's out with a back and Hood with a knee. Since Moutier is out, Jameer Nelson's probably going to be a nice cash game play on this slate. Four game slate, it allows you to get Westbrook in your lineups pretty easily. All right, take a quick trip to Vegas, shall we? We won't stay long, only four games. Game of the night, Phoenix, Denver. Do I have to say anything else? I mean, you got two of the fastest paced teams ever with the high altitude. Denver's a 6-point favorite. This game is by far the best game of the night in terms of DFS goodness. So, yeah, tremendous. I can't wait to roster tons of players here. After that, then you go Indiana, Minnesota, 212 over-under. Not a bad game there. I like that. Minnesota favored by three. Minnesota's been playing a lot better. Also, I should have mentioned, I missed the lead. Phoenix, Denver, you know what that means, right? If you listen to yesterday's show, you know what that means. It means P.J. Tucker will have to defend Jokic, right? They have to put him on Jokic. If Phoenix does not guard P.J. Tucker with Jokic, I will be so freaking furious. I will write another petition for that. And so Indiana, Minnesota is a good game. Then you got two nasty games. Lakers, Utah. And if you watch the Lakers play Portland on Wednesday, they're so freaking bad. Ugh, they stink. For Lakers, I mean, I guess some Lou Williams and Clarkson maybe, but you can almost fade that game. Utah's favored by 13 at home, so it could be a blowout too. And then you got Dallas OKC with 199 over-under. The problem is we can't fade both those disgusting over-unders. I guess you could in theory. You could just stack Phoenix Denver. But on a four game, it is a four-game slate. So in tournaments, there's going to be guys from those horrible games that help you win a GPP. So we'll have to roster a couple of those guys, especially in tournaments. And Dallas, okay, see, like I will use Westbrook and cash just on a four game slate. My thinking goes to I just want overall number of points, and I think one of the easiest ways to do that, just let me lock in Westbrook. Give me his 50 on a 10 game slate, probably won't cut it, but on a four game slate, I think Westbrook's 50-50 FanDuel points that very easily will probably be in the winning GPP lineups, even in a slow paced game against Dallas. And Dallas has no one to defend him. I mean, he should still be able to go nuts. All right, that's it for Vegas. All right, let's hop into the plays. Hop into the plays. So, on this slate, you only really have two superstars. One superstar. Westbrook's a superstar. Only 12.7K. Then you got Towns in play at 10.6K. I'm still upset and hurt what he did to me yesterday by allowing P.J. Tucker to just take him out of the game completely and shut him down for the last 18 minutes. But you got to put that aside in a good matchup against Indiana. Then you got the greatest player ever born, Jokic. He's still expensive, 10.4K going up against Phoenix. And I wasn't lying yesterday when I said Tyson Chandler is a horrible defender. He's been playing great. And people can play on this slate if you want to play Tyson Chandler, but he can't defend Jokic. So I'll be intrigued to see, in all seriousness, what Phoenix does to defend him. I really could see them putting, as silly as it sounds, putting 6'4" PJ Tucker on him, because Tyson Chandler, he gets abused by offensively talented centers. And then the highest priced guy after that is Bledsoe, whose price keeps skyrocketing. It's on 9.7K. Crazy. But let's start with Westbrook. So like I said, because it's a four-game slate, I'm gonna put Westbrook in cash. And there is still enough value on this slate where I think it's pretty easy to do. So I'm just going to do it. Do I think he's going to have one of his 70, 80 FanDuel point nights? Probably not. But on a slate like this, I need some safety somewhere, because some positions get pretty ugly pretty fast. So I'm going to roster him in cash. Now, could you fade him in tournaments? Sure. Absolutely. You could still absolutely fade him in tournaments. Right now, if tournaments, I'd probably have, let's say, 50% exposure. You know, and that's I'm not sure if that's going to hold, but that's my thinking like right now. Eric Bledsoe, 9.7K. Love the game. The price is expensive. I mean, you know, now he's basically similar to Jokic, and he's got to get his 50. But you kind of take the same approach I just mentioned for Westbrook. It's just, even if he doesn't come up and give us 50, let's say he gets 40, will that probably be good enough for a slate like this? Maybe. And the other guys, like, I don't really trust Jeff Teague and George Hill, the way he's been playing lately. Do you really trust him? I mean, maybe, because it's against the Lakers. But Bledsoe, it's pretty safe. So I'm not a fan of the price tag, but it's similar to how I approached John Wall yesterday. John Wall was overpriced, but because it was a small slate, I ended up playing John Wall than I normally would on a large slate. And I think that's going to be my approach to Bledsoe here. Just because, based on the slate itself, and then you take into account the pace of the game, which is going to be just absurd, I think Bledsoe is still good for all formats. And remember, Denver, we attack Denver point guards. They're atrocious. Mudiay being out, that actually hurts Bledsoe a little bit, but Jameer Nelson is horrendous too. He's 47 years old, and he's 4'7" tall. Jeff Teague. Teague's going to be a tournament play for me, not a GPP. I mean, not a cash game guy on this slate. Somehow become a Magic Mountain guy. It was. Remember when it was the Indiana Teagues? I think Paul George is slowly trying to assert some dominance. Also, Miles Turner's been really good. Thaddeus Young's been playing well. And it's not the Indiana Teagues right now, so tournament's only for me. Ricky Rubio. He's been really good, but the problem with him being really good is his price has come up. So he's now 6.9K. I will have a mini stack of this Indiana-Minnesota game. So, I mean, I don't mind Rubio. I think, you know, he's been more consistent than Teague lately. So, you know, I could save some money and go Rubio instead of Teague, which I probably would prefer, I guess. So if you want to roll Rubio out in cash, you probably can do it at this point. Then you got George Hill. I'm not a George Hill fan. I've seen him play too many years. I've seen him play too many games, and he's just not that good. He's an average NBA player. Now Utah is fully healthy. He started off the year great, and lately he's been whatever. He's been fine, average. So on a four-game slate, though, the price is fair, and he gets a great matchup against the Lakers, who don't defend anyone. So I don't hate the play if you are looking to save money, but you're a little scared of Jameer Nelson or Jordan Clarkson or, you know, whatever. That's fine. And could he give you 40, 45 fandom points? Could George Hill be the second highest scoring point guard after Westbrook on this slate? It could happen. I'd say there's like a 10% chance that happens. So, but for me, it's probably going to be tournaments only. Jordan Clarkson, 4.8K. So without D'Angelo Russell against Portland, he scored almost 30 FanDuel points. I think he's fine. You know, Utah, obviously Lakers playing down in pace. I don't love the play, but you can save. I probably would just prefer to go Jameer Nelson if I'm going to save a point guard in cash games. But for a tournament, sure. But one way to win tournaments, you play someone against Utah and Memphis because they're always low owned. Then you got Jameer Nelson at 3.9K. I almost think he's a lock and load. He's not great, but he's probably going to start and play 30 minutes. And if he plays 30 minutes in that fast-paced game, he should find a way to give you between 25 and 30 FanDuel points. And that should be enough, and it should allow you to get Westbrook. You could also, for tournaments, you want to go Jamal Murray, because that's basically Denver's backup point guard right now. And Jamal Murray is, when he gets hot, he's a fantasy point per minute guy. Shooting guard is disgusting. It's nasty. It's horrifying. I want to roster none of them. I may do that. I may just take zeros because I'm worried that some of them are going to give me negative FanDuel points. Devin Booker, 7.2K. It's just a sad state of affairs when Devin Booker, his price comes up to 7.2K, and I have to utter these words to you. Devin Booker is safe for cash games. Feels sick doing that. But on this slate, shooting guard's so ferocious that I think, and did I make up that word? Is ferocious a word? It's horrendous, right? What the hell is ferocious? No. Dude, I don't know, man. I did have one too many whiskey. Devin Booker, he's such a one-trick pony. I mean, hold on, I'm trying to pull up his game logs. Like, he's been shooting and playing really well. He's had, wow, I mean, at least, it looks like 10, 11, 12 straight games of over 20 actual points. The problem is, in that stretch, he's only had like one time he's been over 40 FanDuel points. I guess two, barely. He's normally in like the high 20s or low 30s. And that's because he does nothing else besides shoot. He can't rebound. He can't really get you assists except one game he had eight. That was a miracle. He doesn't get you steals or blocks because he doesn't play defense. No one on Phoenix does. So it's solely based on Denver. We attack Denver guards. Based on this, the slate stinks. Shooting guard also stinks. His usage rate is fine because Phoenix is starting three bums, three offensively challenged with Chandler, Chris, and PJ Tucker playing a ton of minutes, even though Warren, I guess, is technically starting. So Booker's fine for cash on this slate, and he's fine for all formats, even though I don't feel good about it. And in tournaments, oh man, it's the pace of that game. It's hard to fade him on this slate. It really is. I mean, I'll do it in some tournaments, but yeah, this shooting guard is just so bad. Then you got the captain of the Magic Mountain team, Zach LaVine, who's turned into Courtney Lee lately. He's just been wasted minutes on the court. He's 6.1K. 20 FanDuel points, 9, 19, 24, 20. You know, so could you play him in a tournament? Could he still go off at some point? Sure. At some point, again, this year, he's going to pop off and help someone win a GPP. Could it be on a four-game slate? Why not? So tournaments only, though. Then you got Oladipo, 5.7K. I like the price. I don't like the pace of this game. He's been good. He's been consistent. He's been giving you around 30 FanDuel points lately. Dallas is really banged up. So who's going to be guarding him? Seth Curry? Devin Harris? He's in a pretty good spot. I mean, this is – we saw on Wednesday you could go Dragic and Waiters. Now, obviously, they were against Brooklyn. But you could go Westbrook – because on a four-game slate, remember, you have to find ways to differentiate your lineups in tournaments. Everyone's going to be on the same players on a four-game slate. So, yeah, Oladipo will probably be low-owned. So for tournaments, I like it. Quite honestly, for cash, it's probably not bad either. Lou Williams, it's going to be tournaments only for me, but he'll be in play. I mean, we all know what he can do. If when he gets hot and his usage rate is over 30% for someone coming off the bench. That's tremendous. Russell is out, so he's going to get close to 30 minutes, and he's a Magic Mountain guy, so he could give you 16 FanDuel points or he could give you 40. And we have seen guards. If you're going to attack Utah, you usually attack them on the perimeter at the guard position. Will Barton, this is a perfect spot for him. Still going to be tournaments only for me because another Magic Mountain guy coming off two bad games of 14 and 12. The minutes are always an issue. He could get 18 minutes. He could get 30. Then you got my boy Gary Harris. Harris is just a nice, safe cash game play on this slate for point guard, shooting guard. If you want to save some money, I think you can play Gary. You can go value and go Gary Harris and like Seth Curry. I think it's fine to do on this slate for shooting guard in cash games. So I like Harris. Harris is actually fine for all formats because he does have some upside too. Seth Curry's 4.1K, and when Wes Matthews got ruled out, I think around 15 minutes before lineup lock on Wednesday, I played a lot of Seth Curry. The problem was Powell basically did – him and Curry both had really good games. They both put up 31, 32 FanDuel points. But Curry, you know, was really good against the Knicks on Wednesday. He should get – you know, he gets a 6.3% usage bump, with those with Wes Matthews and Dirk out. So he's in a really good spot, almost a lock and load for cash games. The one thing I'll say, I just don't know if they're going to put him at point guard or shooting guard. If he's going to be a shooting guard for OKC, Oladipo may be defending him. Oladipo's a pretty good defender. Then you got Nick Young. Alec Burks has been playing well. Utah does play the Lakers, so you can play some Alec Burks. All right, small forward. Small forward's not great either. Gordon Hayward, 8K. So his price has risen because they're playing the Lakers. But he's been awful lately. He's been dreadful. He's been horrendous. He's been deplorable. Disgusting. He needs to give you around 40. You know, two times in the last 10 games, he's been able to do that, and barely. He's been in the teens and the 20s. The matchup's great, so he's fine. But I still probably, if you want to use him in cash because it's the Lakers and because it's a four-game slate, you can do it. Right now, I probably would prefer Paul George. Paul George is 7.7K. I think Paul George, his usage is going to be a little bit higher. He's looked better to me in recent games. He's looked more engaged, more active. And if they're not the Indiana Teagues, they're the Indiana Paul Georges. So I think I'd do like George a safer cash gameplay over Gordon. Although I'll have exposure to both. Andrew Wiggins, man, his price has risen up now too. He's up to 7.6K. Him and Booker are both super expensive for one-trick ponies. He went nuts against Phoenix because PJ Tucker you know, took Towns completely out of the game, so Wiggins got every shot for 18 straight minutes. Is that going to happen again on this slate? Probably not. Indiana, though, also, well, no, I guess I'll get Paul George defense, a decent defender. That to me, that's just too expensive. So I won't have a ton of Andrew Wiggins. I'm not doing it in cash games. Harrison Barnes, ding, 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 lock and load in my cash games. Fine for all formats. 7% usage bump, no Dirk, no Wes Matthews. I cannot envision how he doesn't give me 30 FanDuel points. And quite honestly, he put up 30 FanDuel points on Wednesday. He should give me 40 in this game. He's a defender, but he's going to get all the shots in the world. So, yeah, excellent play. Gallinari just has not done it for us this year. Every freaking game, he's like just mediocre and average. On a four-game slate, though, that may be enough. 5.8K, I think he's pretty safe in a super fast-paced game, 229 over-under. So I don't mind it. The upside just hasn't been there this year, though. Wilson Chandler, he's been bad at 20 minutes last game. So his price has come all the way down to 5.1K. When he goes off, he can give you 40. So an elite spot against Phoenix. The only thing is, I guess, would be, and the same with Gallo. Technically, PJ Tucker's a small forward, so in theory, he could be guarding Chandler or Gallinari. So take that with a grain of salt. But Chandler's in a really good spot, and tournament, I think he's a great tournament play on this slate. Then you have the man, the myth, the legend, PJ Tucker, 4.5K. What will he do for an encore after crushing my soul yesterday? God only knows. But he's been good. He's getting a lot of minutes because he's been so good defensively. And then he just stumbled, bumbles, and fumbles into around 20 to 35 FanDuel points. I think 35, that was a little extreme last game. But I think between 20 and 30, he can do that in a high-paced game against Denver. So he's fine for all formats too. Then you got some guys you can take a shot at in tournaments. Brandon Ingram, he's going to bounce back someday. Lual Deng, TJ Warren. Wow, TJ Warren's 4K. And if he could just get the minutes, he got 30 minutes last game against Minnesota, only 10 FanDuel points. So I will absolutely play TJ Warren in at least one lineup. Joe Ingles, Shabazz Muhammad, Roberson, you got all those guys sitting there if you really want to get desperate. Power forward, Jokic, 10.4K. Elite spot for him. He's been one of the top five players in the NBA last couple weeks. 51, 38, 33, 56, 53, 55 FanDuel points the last five, six games. So, yeah, if you can fit him in your lineup, get him in there on this slate. Then you got Waffle. I mean, power forward is atrocious. The next guy after that is Waffle House Randall, 6.5K. We saw what he did on against Portland, 20 minutes, not even 14 FanDuel points. That's horrifying. I'm sure he's at a buffet right now. Gravy's dripping everywhere. It's just sickening. With that said, will I play him in some tournaments? Yes, I will. And also, the last time he played Utah, he destroyed Gobert. He was dancing circles around him. The gravy was just – it was supreme that night. He put up 44 FanDuel points against Gobert. Do I expect it again? No. But will I use him in a couple tournaments? Sure. Enes Kanter, tournaments only, 6.2K. It's just minutes with him. It's all about minutes. 21 minutes on Wednesday, 32 FanDuel points. Bogut is a good defender, though. I think Bogut's still playing for Dallas. Gorgui Dieng. Dieng's been losing all kinds of minutes to – I don't understand why this game – why Bijelica, the guy whose name is B-J-E-L-L-I-C-A. Why isn't it Bijelica? Why is it called like Bijitsa or Biazza, whatever the hell his name is pronounced? I want to call him Bijelica. So Gorgui Dieng's been losing a lot of minutes lately. So it's a tournament-only play for me right now. But Indiana's – and Thaddeus Young have been struggling to defend that power forwards all year long. You can use him in tournaments. Speaking of Thaddeus Young, same price, 5.6K. He's been pretty good. He's been pretty consistent. I prefer him to Dieng, especially in cash games. And quite honestly, on this slate, Thad Young might be fine for all formats. Then you got Fareed. You got Favors. Favors is dangling there for free. It's not a back-to-back. He's 4.7K. I know he's killed a lot of us this year many times. He's probably going to get 24 minutes. If he gets 24 minutes against the Lakers, he should get us 25 FanDuel points. So I think he's another guy. On a four-game slate, could he be in the winning GPP lineup? Yeah, he could be. Then you got Dwight Powell sitting there. It's just, man, Rick Carlisle does everything in his power to not let Powell get minutes. I don't think he's played 30 minutes all year long. I think he's been like in the high 20s a couple times. Without Dirk, Carlisle can play Anderson or Powell. So I would, Powell will probably end up with 22 minutes. And he'll deserve more. It's 20. You got to ask yourself, unless we hear something different. If we hear something coming out in the day where he's going to get a lot of minutes, then lock and load. Put him everywhere. But otherwise, you think about it. Is 22 minutes going to be enough? And for me, it's going to be – if I have 10 lineups, he'd be in probably 2-3. Then you got Marquise Chris, Alex Len. God, Len's dirt cheap. The problem with Tyson Chandler playing so well, Len came in last game and he played excellent. Played 24 minutes. He put up a double-double and he had 20 FanDuel points. He's 3.6K, man. He doesn't have to do much to hit value at that price. And also on a slate like this, you can play a couple of bums like that if it allows you to get a Towns, especially a Westbrook, a Jokic. Because remember, if those guys put up 50 FanDuel points on a four-game slate, you're probably going to need that in your lineup. So this on a slate like this, sometimes I roster guys not only just for their production. I do this for every day. You're not only rostering the bums for what they're going to give you, but who it allows you to roster the rest of your lineup. But especially you do that on a small slate because there's certain guys on small slates that you just need to get in your lineup. You can't afford to miss. The opportunity cost is too great at some positions. All right, center. So Towns, 10.6K. So I'm pretty sure Indiana does not have PJ Tucker, so Towns should be fine. I mean, Miles Turner, because I have my two favorite centers to watch playing each other, Towns and Miles Turner. I mean, they're going to be on the perimeter a lot. They're going to be pretending they're point guards, jacking up threes, dribbling a lot. It should be a lot of fun to watch. Towns should be able to have a really good spot. Rudy Gobert, 8.3K. So he's coming off a horrendous game. But Utah was playing four games in five nights. So don't be too hard on Rudy. He'll be fine. He's in a good spot here against the Lakers. Should he give you between 30 and 40 FanDuel points? Yeah, he should. He's nice and safe. if you don't have the money for Towns and you want to use Gobert and cash, I think it's fine. And it's fine for any format. Turner, Miles Turner is going to be a tournament-only guy for me. But Towns is a really bad defender. Towns, and if he's not active offensively, then he could care less, as we saw Tyson Chandler grab a million rebounds against him. So Turner should be able to feast. Turner's like $4,000 cheaper. I like the tournament move of fading Towns and playing Turner, because is it unthinkable for me that Turner gets either more Fando points than Towns or close? No, it's not unthinkable. And if Turner can do that, that could help me take down a GPP. And Turner's he's that talented. He's an athletic freak. I'm a huge fan of his game. But tournaments only, cash games, he's still a little up and down. He's still so young and raw. Tyson Chandler, if you want to go him in cash, I have no issues with it. He's been tremendous offensively. Defensively, he still stinks. I don't care what anyone says. But, you know, I was reading some quote today saying how he feels so good. He feels so locked in right now. Whatever, Buster. He's fine, though. He has been playing great. I'm just not a fan of his game. And I'm not a fan of Phoenix playing all these old guys when they should be giving the young guys minutes. But if you want to play him this late, yeah, I get it. And, well, I would say they need him to defend Jokic, but he's not a good defender, one. And you have PJ Tucker. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm super intrigued to see who the hell guards Jokic. I'm sure they got to start out with Chandler on him. Steven Adams, 5.5K, dirt cheap. He went off on Wednesday night, so he's another guy totally fine for cash games. And he's fine for all formats, quite honestly. Center stinks. It's horrible. It's really nasty. So, yeah, I don't mind him. He's fine for all formats. Bogut is a good defender, but Bogut's Bogut, so he's not going to play a ton of minutes. And he can't move when he's in there anyway. Then you got – that's about it, man. You got Bogut at 3.7K if you want to play him. But he's gonna play 20 minutes on a back-to-back, if that. You got Lavernia, Nurkic. Yeah, I mean, really, you don't have a lot of options. You got Towns, Gobert, Turner, Chandler, or Adams, and that's it. That's the list. So that's what I mean when I say you got to get creative to differentiate lineups. Center, all those guys are going to be decently owned, so you're going to have to differentiate at other spots. All right, that's it. That's the slate. It's a fun little four-game slate. It's, you know, like I said, I wouldn't play your usual amount. Don't go crazy with it. For me, it's going to be all tournaments. But out there and let us achieve it. All right, that's it. The judge came through. I got the podcast done. I was very nervous. There'd be no podcast. So hopefully it made sense. Not going to lie. I'm exhausted. I want to go to bed. With that said, if you have any questions, tweet at me at Daniel A. Green 1. As you guys should know by now, a tweet is better than a DM because it's a better likelihood I will see the tweet. DMs, I'm just getting too many. It's hard to keep track. So if you want – and also for Chambers, I usually post the links to Chambers around 5 p.m. Eastern for FanDuel. DraftKings closer to 2 or 3 p.m. Eastern, although don't hold me to that because some days I just get crazy and I just post it whenever I have a couple free minutes. And that's about it. All right. So – with that said, for me and the bailiff, hope you made some nice money on Wednesday. Hope you achieved glory on Thursday. I will see you guys back Friday. Court is adjourned.